2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Brother Raines, why do you use so many men and even our boys in devotion and sometimes beyond just devotion? Let me tell you something. I know personality kicks in. I know background and all of that. And they say the fear of public speaking is greater than the fear of death. I've read that. And I get all that. I understand that. But biblically, even if you don't do it, every man and every rising man in the body of Christ ought to be able to. Ought to be able to. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to come tap you and say you've got devotion or you've got to give us a 45-minute whatever on Sunday morning. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, church, take all those other things, personality, background, education, reading ability, all those things that might hinder us, take all that into consideration. I ought to be able to sit down with somebody and share with them. Your gift may be one-on-one. Okay, let me tell you something. If there's a young daddy in this church, one of you who's raised a few kids, an arm around him, and a word, just a word, goes a long, long way. Just goes a long, long way. So don't minimize verse number 2. Paul said, the things you've learned from me, watch. He said, here's Paul, and he said, Timothy, what you've learned from me, you give it to others, that they may teach others also. That little verse has four generations. That is strong. That is healthy. That is healthy. Amen. Verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Can we quit whining about how hard life is? Our grandparents called it life. And sometimes we act like the most normal thing. You know, somebody gets a cold or has a flat tire. The devil's really fighting me, preacher. I'm sorry. People have been getting colds for 6,000 years. People have been having flat tires since the car was invented. And we don't get nearly as many as you used to. Thank God for radials. You know, if some people didn't talk about the devil, they wouldn't have anything to testify about. If some people didn't talk about themselves, they wouldn't have anything to testify about. Y'all didn't give me as many amens on that one. Testimony, bragging on Jesus. Bragging on Jesus. Amen. Verse number 4, no man that warreth. Can I also say no man that entangleth warreth? No man that warreth entangleth. No man that entangleth warreth. If you're all entangled, you're not in a war. You're not fighting the good fight. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Oh, get it, church. Get it. While we're in this series, get a hold of this, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Lay your politics aside for a minute. Obama administration, Trump administration, I know which one I prefer. Lay your politics aside for a minute. If you got a letter marked White House and it said you've been chosen for this job, you'd have testified tonight. Now you'd have tactfully made it all about Jesus, but we'd all known it was all about you. Come on now. So if the president, if the governor, if the mayor, who I'm not impressed with at all, would have chosen you to do a job, you'd be thoroughly impressed with yourself. God in heaven chose you to be a soldier. Do you love being in an airport or in a military town and seeing men? I hate to say women because I think they ought not to be in our military, at least fighting. If they're serving, that's one thing. But I don't want my wife and daughters out there with 70-pound backpack and an AK and armed. Ladies, that just don't look right. Now, some of you, when you have those power surges, otherwise known as hot flashes, you could scare the enemies. Come on. Okay, that's who we ought to send over to Afghanistan, and we'd win. That 19-year war would be over. that, and he said, put some Legos on the desert floor and let them step on some Legos with those Afghanians standing in bare feet. Okay, everybody, come on, help me now. Okay, so here we are. I love to be in an airport. I love to be in a military town and see men in their uniform. Let me tell you something. It makes me proud to be an American. And we ought to make our Heavenly Father just as proud. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Somebody tell me what I preached on Sunday night. The Passover. And it's a picture of the cross and salvation. Okay? Does anybody remember the title? Moses' Redemption. Okay? Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. If you would, say the word. Passover was a picture of the cross and salvation. So then what happened in verse number 29? They passed through the Red Sea. Often we'll kind of treat those as one if we're not careful, because the Passover and the Red Sea, obviously the word red makes us think of blood. So often we'll kind of lump those in as one, and then we get them into the wilderness, and then they cross the Jordan, and that talks about victorious living and all that. But I want to separate them and make them very distinct, because your Bible does. So what I want to preach to you tonight is Moses' rescue. Now listen to me very carefully. If you don't listen carefully, I'm gonna mislead you. You're gonna leave a little bit confused. If they accepted the Passover as God's redemption plan for sinful man, okay, and I won't re-preach the message. If they accepted that in Old Testament, using New Testament terminology for an Old Testament act, if they by faith applied the blood, were they saved? Were they born again? Yes, not a trick question. The death angel, and we know from the book, we honed in on this Sunday night that the one who came through executing judgment was none other than God Himself. There's only one verse that even gives the hint that there might have been another entity involved, called the destroyer. All the other verses make it clear it was God Himself who did the killing. Let me give you one. You fill in the blanks. Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to... God did that. No wonder He turned His head. No wonder everything went dark. Can you imagine His heart? Time out. If you enjoy whipping your kid, you're messed up. If you wait to do it till you're in a rage, you're doing it all wrong. You do it because it's right, and you do it before... Sweetie, I love you, but here's what Daddy said don't do. You've got to suffer the consequences. They learn to listen to your voice, they're going to be a whole lot quicker to listen to His. And I've seen some men, okay, I don't think I've run into any women this way. I've seen some men, they acted like they got some kind of perverse pleasure out of it. You're sick. You need help. You're never going to record me and take me to court saying our preacher told us beat them till the smoke alarm goes off. You're not going to get any of that out of me. That was one of the hardest things I ever did. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. But my Bible said that it'll correct a fool. My Bible said foolishness is bound in their heart. Said that rod would get it out. And boy, they'll try to define that rod every way, but you know, just every way you can imagine. And if you correct them with words, correct them with words, there's going to be a few times they're going to need a stinging behind. That little behind's going to have to sting. So here we are in the Passover. The Passover is verse 28, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. Go to Exodus chapter 14. I want you to be Bible literate, not illiterate, Bible literate. What chapter in Exodus has the Passover? We were there Sunday night. 12. Exodus 12. Not going to quiz you. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad if you don't know this. But what I want you to do when you hear the word Exodus 12 or you hear the word Passover, you ought to think of those two things synonymously. Okay, let me give you another one that ought to, you want to learn your Bible well enough to where this comes to you. John 15, fruit bearing, the vine, I am the vine, ye are the branches. John 3, Nicodemus. John 4, woman at the well. John 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda. I'm not trying to impress you, I am saying get a working knowledge of your Bible. There's a million ways to study it these days, okay? He talked about an online app for reading. There's sound, doctrinally fundamental courses that are available. 30 minutes a day? What if every reading member of this church spent 15 minutes a day in Bible study? That changes, wouldn't it? It changes. Brother Raines, I don't have that. Oh, yes, you do. Read that screen report every week. Ain't that the most convicting thing that they ever came up with? The devil wasn't behind that. That was God. Some programmer in Silicon Valley, he came up with that so that all the believers who were addicted to their phones would realize, I do have time to pray. Help me. Oh, I've been pulled to the side since Sunday, and people with tears in their eyes saying, please don't quit saying that. Preacher, we can't have a family get together because everybody's staring at their phone. Shame, shame, shame. Leave them in the car, put them in a basket, and love on your children and grandparents and great grandparents. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Exodus chapter 14 is the Red Sea. Everybody say Red Sea. Exodus 14, verse number 21. I'm sorry, start in 19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel before removed and went, say it, behind. And the pillar of the cloud went from before and stood behind. You got the picture? The camp of Israel is in the millions. The lowest estimate you'll ever hear is about a million. You'll hear upwards of three. And it's not unheard of for the estimates to be greater than that. The lowest you'll ever read is one, okay? So, the angel of the Lord, which is also known as light, okay? And the cloudy pillar is before them. It removes and gets in the back of, let's just split the difference and say 2 million people. So now these two objects are between the children of God and the children of Egypt. Okay, look in verse number 20. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Here's what I want you to get. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. You got two pronouns, them and these. But it's obvious which one it's talking to. Who was it light to? The same object was darkness to them. You got any lost family who don't understand you? It's light to you, Miss Kim. It's darkness to them. Don't let that go to your head. The Bible says, Ephesians, ye were darkness. We ought to stop right now and fall on our face with our hands in the air and bless Him. He didn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. And I understand the frustration when we grew up in a culture that had some decency about it. And now that's gone. I understand the frustration. I really, really do. But they're no more lost than respectable people were 50 years ago when culture had some little bit of character about it. The greatest generation, were they great? Yes. Did they deliver us from Nazism and Japanese tyranny? Yes. Were they great people? Yes. They were evil too. They were wicked. They lived wicked lifestyles in those countries. Go to Asia and look at all the mixed breeds. It's obvious they're American and Filipino. It's obvious they're American and Chinese. It's obvious. G.I. Joe did that. Were they amazing people? Did they have character? Were they brave? Yes. They were also lost. And they were in darkness. And they were darkness. So, listen to me. It's easier to look down on them than it was 50 years ago. Because when they get out in it these days, Brother PJ, they get it all over them. And it's ugly. And it smells. And it's offensive. It's repulsive. Especially if you were raised, even not saved, if you were raised in that respectable, decent, work ethic, honest culture. It just grates on you. Let's step on some real thin ice. When it's family that you've poured your life into and they walk away. My heart aches. But let me tell you something. Ye were darkness. Such were some of you. And you say, Brother Raines, I didn't go that far. That ought to just flood your heart with gratitude. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Cloud and darkness to them, light to these. One came not near the other all the night. Number one, the division of the ranks. Were they saved at the Passover? Yes or no? This is not their salvation. This is a testimony. Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down? They got saved in the Passover. What's God doing between the Passover and the Red Sea? If you're still happy with Egypt, if you're still happy at an Egyptian party, Mexican hat dance, Egyptian party, I don't care what it is, if that still lights your fire and you can enjoy it the way you did a week ago, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I didn't say you wouldn't go. I've talked to a lot of people, said I went back where I'd always, I went, I got saved on Wednesday, I went on Friday where I'd always gone, and I thought I was going to puke. Last Friday I loved it, this Friday it was gagging me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Miss Sandra has to work late on most Wednesdays. But she told me, how many times has she told us, I thought I'd lose all my friends when I got saved. She said, I didn't have to say a thing to one of them. They just didn't enjoy hanging around with me like they used to. You don't have to jump down their throat. You don't have to beg. You just talk about what comes natural. On Monday, here's what ought to come natural. Boy, we had a time at church yesterday. And they're still hung over. Y'all ought to have a real heart. I worked in the public for years. And I know what Monday morning's all about. They drag in there like something the cat drug in. You ought to go in, and I mean, if we're off on a Sunday, if we just ain't hitting on all eight cylinders, I'm not telling a lost person. I'm still, hey, you know what? I like it when we ain't on all eight cylinders. My home ain't on all eight cylinders all the time. You know what? I'm still going back. And we're going to work on it till we get all eight cylinders flowing. So I'm not going to tell a lost person, my church, I just don't know about my church. Please don't say that to a lost person. You dumber than a box of rocks. If you say that to a lost person, don't do that. Don't do that. Separation. That is the first thing that took place. God's, and what did he separate them with? Light. If you'll just start getting in the Word, if you'll just start listening to the Word, they'll say something that a week ago you'd have laughed at, and they said it today and told this joke. The secretary will walk by, and everybody makes their comments. That's why she wore it. She wanted them to make those comments. Sometimes I'll give women the benefit of the doubt, and I'll say, they don't know, honey. They don't. My wife goes, we know exactly what we're doing. We know when it takes extra tugs to get it on. We know. Somebody help me. Okay. Ladies, if you tugging, you need to hang it back up. Here's what my friend says. He said, your card membership says Planet Fitness. He said, them there yoga pants say Burger King. I didn't say it. My friend said it. I just happened to quote him. And I kept him anonymous. So they go by, and instead of saying what you did last week, you look down. And they go, what's up with you? No. Separation. Isaiah 51. This one, you'll like it. I don't know if you like that last one. You'll like this one. If you're still happy in the world, listen to the preacher, something's wrong. Every baby I've ever known grew and developed at a different rate than all the others. They're all different, but they're all growing. And if they're not, their mommies make a beeline to the doctor and say, what's wrong? We have no growth spiritually, and we never say, what's wrong? It'll break your pastor's heart. Somebody who knows Jesus and loves Jesus, it'll break their heart. Look at Isaiah chapter 51. Look at verse 10. This is good. Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Is that good? Does that tell you that they got saved in Egypt? And now what's he doing? Making a way. How many of you, that first battle you ran into after salvation startled you just a little bit? What if you was an Israelite and he did that miraculous thing and set you free, and your first battle was the Red Sea? So whatever you faced, and however long it was between Egypt and the Red Sea, every one of us has been there. It's like, wow, they didn't tell me. Boy, when that preacher preached on how good it was to be saved, he didn't tell me about that there Red Sea. He didn't tell me I was going to be a soldier. We're not deceptive. We preach the gospel. God is the one who makes these two different things. If you lump it all into one, you're going to end up preaching a works salvation. Study the scripture. You lump all of this into one. It is a growth process. And he don't leave you on your own, Brother Breck. Because what's behind you casting a light? God and his angel. Number one, the division of the ranks. Number two, the deliverance of the ransomed. We could sing, we could shout, we could testify about being delivered. But you and I both know way too many Christians are living in defeat. They're staring at the Red Sea, weeping and wailing. And Brother Matthew, they never get any victory in their life. I'll leave it to you and the sweet Holy Ghost to determine whether or not you're saved. But I can tell you on the authority of God's Word, He did not save you for you to stand staring blankly at the Red Sea. Whatever is tormenting you, whatever is troubling you, whatever is in your way, you name it. And it could be, there's 300 of us here tonight, it could be 300 different things. Whatever is in your way, see, I do that because it's on the radio. And so people come, they think, wow, they got 300, okay? And y'all know I'm crazy, so you don't bother you. So whatever is standing in your way, God wants you to have victory. And He wants to part that and let you walk through. So here's what I want to ask you on the deliverance of the ransomed. Have you been delivered? And I don't mean saved. I am going to tell you that evidence of the fact that I experienced the Passover, Seth, is that when my first obstacle came, he parted the sea and let me walk right through. Now let me lead you to point number three to show you what happens when the world tries to do that. Go to Hebrews 11 verse 29 again. That's where we started, but I want you to look at it. If you would, you'll get more out of it if you look at it on the page. 11:29. Are you there? By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Say amen. Amen. Which the Egyptians, assaying, attempting, trying, which the Egyptians assaying to do, were drowned. Number one, the division of the ranks. Number two, the deliverance of the ransomed. Number three, the deception of the rejector. Here's what the Egyptians are doing, Brother Michael. They skipped Passover. They didn't want a bloody sacrifice. But they wanted to march through that Red Sea. Son, look at them go. If that ain't the coolest thing ever. And they're trying to imitate the saved people. I'll say it one more time. It's between you and the sweet Holy Ghost if you're born again. But if you're trying to act saved and you're not, it's going to come to destruction. Over and over and over again. The Bible's clear. You know how many times the crossing of the Red Sea is mentioned in your Bible. They came out on the other side. And Pharaoh, his chariots, his horses, and his men were destroyed in the middle of that sea. And here's why, Elijah, trying to act like the Israelites. Let's bring it home. I could give you a history lesson and you'd go, wow, that was pretty interesting Jewish history. And the preacher, you know, he's rather entertaining at times. You know, and that ain't going to help you. I want to bring it right home to where we live. If you're trying to act saved and you're not, and you don't ever have any victory in your life, you need to check up. I don't say that often, and I don't say it with any malice. I never, ever want anything to cause you to question or even examine your own heart except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plain teaching of God's word causes you to examine and to question what your profession, then you should question it. We all pray to God that her grandparents are born again, washed in the blood. You heard her at the end of her testimony. She said, pray that I find that out that it was more than just a repeated prayer that didn't mean anything to him, just a religious ritual. A precious lady, one of the sweetest ladies that ever went through my home church. And a lot of people went through my home church. One of the sweetest ones that ever did, Brother PJ, came to the altar one day after a simple message on Calvary. And she got up and she said, I went through confirmation when I was 12. I answered all the questions. I passed the test, and they told me I was good. She said, I've always thought I was. She said, but I hadn't experienced what the preacher preached tonight, this morning rather. She got gloriously saved. Now let me give you the other side of the coin. I was a born-again teenager who was trying to figure salvation out like a math problem. You said you had a thing about numbers. Okay, I'm weird like that too. And I tried to figure it out, Miss Laura. I wanted X plus Y to equal Z. And it's by faith. Everybody say faith. And I tried to make my experience match up to hers and just added to my torment of doubt and went through it, and it lasted way longer than it should, and that was my fault and nobody else's, because it is by faith. So let me tell you something. God will save children. God will save young people. God will save... Somebody can stagger in here with... My dad and I were talking this afternoon about the Ethiopian eunuch. he knew so little. You don't get saved because you know enough. You get saved because you respond in faith to the drawing and the wooing of the Holy Ghost. But there is evidence after you get saved. Children have evidence. If they're nine, they're still nine. Help me now, church. I'm going to stay here a minute. If they're nine when they get saved, if they're six, if they're eight, if they're 12, if they're 15. Trevor and Eva said there was such a difference in Dan after he got born again. Eva said, now it didn't wash the teenager off of him. But she said, he's different. Salvation will change you. And one of the best evidences, Brother PJ, is when I reach that Red Sea, he'll part it for me. And if you as an Egyptian, you weren't a stranger to the Red Sea. I'm getting ready to move on, so get this one. You weren't a stranger to the Red Sea. It had been your obstacle for a very long time. It had always been your barrier between what was here and what was there. But it all changed after Passover. But not for the Egyptians, because they skipped Passover. Amen. The deception of the rejecter. I hope somebody runs on this next one. Exodus 14. Verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn around, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of Israel, they are, would you read that word? In the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. Are they saved? Who is Pharaoh a picture of? Satan. Egypt's a picture of the world. What did Satan and the world say, Brother Michael? Let them go. They'll get entangled. And when they do, we've got them. When I read that, do you know, even the same idea presented in the Old Testament and presented in the New is often a different word. One was translated out of Hebrew. One was translated out of Greek. Please don't let anybody tell you that you're a Bible corrector if you acknowledge that it came from two different languages. There was actually a third involved. That's dumb. So, Brother Raines, why do you say that every other week? Because there's lots of people in Western North Carolina that will cram that down your throat and tell you if you define a word, you're correcting your English Bible. You're crippled too high for crutches. God never asked His children to check their brain at the door and listen hook, line, and sinker to everything I was saying. He said for you to go home and study it yourself. Look at me. That don't threaten me. If you came to me and said, preacher, I got a question. Many of you have done it. John, preacher, I study. Now, that word that here they use it is, what do you think that means? Do you think that offends me? I want to say, hold my Bible. I'm going to go out in the parking lot and shout. Church members who read and study, thank you, Jesus. So there rarely is a strong word like that translated the same way in your Old and your New Testament. But Matthew, this one is. And Pharaoh sat there on that throne and said, let them go. They're going to get entangled. And when they do, we've got them. Brother Breck, if I ever needed any confirmation that this series on entanglement was of God, when I stumbled across that verse, I already knew God was working, Brother PJ. But when I stumbled across that word, I said, God, what a mighty God you are. I told a preacher today up at KJV in Asheville, fellowship, and I said, let me tell you what God's been doing at the church and how just out of the blue He led me into this series on entanglement and how it's helping me and the church and our people. And then I was just looking up a few references after I got home, making sure I was ready for tonight, and came across that word. And here's what I wanted to do. I was in my New Testament, and I said, this is an Old Testament event. I want to see what the Old Testament says about it. And I got to Exodus 14, and Pharaoh said, let them go. They're going to get entangled, and when they do, I've got them. Point number four, the devious plan of the royal church. Many of you have come to me and said, Pastor, I'm entangled. Not gross sin, the affairs of this life. Right. For our size church, a significant number have said, keep preaching. Pastor, I'm entangled. And let me tell you something. If I needed any confirmation, this is of God. The devil wants me entangled. I am easy prey for the devil when I am ensnared with the affairs of this life. Somebody told me 10 years ago, if you want to know what's wrong with something, ask a lost man. Now think about that. I guarantee you, lost people have higher expectations of us as Christians than we often do of ourselves. If you're going to be a Christian, be a good one. I'm about to mess up a good message. If Baal be God, serve him. If not, serve God. That's a paraphrase. What they say? Choose. Baal or God? Did you see Baal when we were reading those verses a while ago? Baal, picture of the world, everything that's vile and filthy and ugly. And here we are, redeemed by the sweet Passover lamb and trying to keep one foot in Egypt and one foot on the other side of the Red Sea. Shame on us. Shame on us. I have nothing to be ashamed of. Egypt never did anything for me. Chewed my family up. Brother Morris spit us out and left us on the side of the road for dead. Ask my mom and daddy. No exaggeration, Brother PJ. No exaggeration. Ask my folks what shape the world left us in. There wouldn't have been a Raines family. There wouldn't have been a Larry and Norma Jean. October, 58 years. Wouldn't have happened. That's what I have to thank Egypt for. They left us on the side of the... You remember the dead... I'm about to preach message number two. Do you remember the half-dead Egyptian? If that story don't light you fire, your wood's soaking wet. Half-dead Egyptian. That's what the devil did for us, and Jesus stepped in and set us free. Why would I ever want to cross the Red Sea and start following Him, looking and acting and caring for Egypt? The only interest I ought to have in Egypt is to see how many Egyptians I can set free that are lost and bound.